various provinces, for instance, was actually communicated with all the information and things like that. Because I know of community structures and organizations that are there, apart from the those that are actually the centers of gathering these studies, these statistics and things like that. Organizations that are led by the people on the ground. How, if you could give us clarity on that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, honorable members.
You're that one.
Thank you, honorable members. I will just give a brief, and then I will hand over to Mike. And I think immediately after Mike speaks, we will ask the people from the communities we work with, have met for the last 2 days, as I said, and then they'll come up and, I think, answer a lot of the questions, especially when we talk about the periphery of the periphery, especially when we talk about who profits, who suffers. It's no use, you know, two pale-faced men standing up here speaking about that. So just a quick walk through some of the issues so that I can just lead Mike into that, is that this is a national process that looked at the Eskom coal-fired power stations, and Mike can speak more about that, but it looked at South Africa. So you saw the two maps, and Mike can speak more about that. The alternatives... it's interesting, yes, it is, you know, who profits from the alternatives? And that is alternative energy. That means not coal. And so we're engaging with local government to find out how does local government actually produce their own renewable energy in Mpumalanga rather than, you know, giving it over to private sector. So that's an engagement we have with parts of Mpumalanga governments in terms of the districts. The Air Quality Act and the emissions, is it effective, is it good, how can we use that? Mike can respond to that, but we also have the Center for Environmental Rights in the room, and they can respond to that. In terms of the colloquium, yes, we Chaleka has been speaking to us, and we've already submitted names of community people. We had a discussion over the last 2 days, and so I'm hoping, Mr. Makabule, that the portfolio committee will be able to support community people coming down next week, and I'm in discussions with Jay Leko on that. So thank you for the invite again. In terms of the brown haze, Mike, it's particular to Cape Town. We have haze obviously elsewhere. We call it smog in Mpumalanga, but in Cape Town we have the haze, and it's very much urban transport, I think. And we have the oil refinery here, the Caltex oil refinery, and other industries and that lead to that. The townships, yes, there's a lot of open fire burning in townships. If it's burning of waste or burning of, you know, food, barbecuing on the side of the road, so that is a big problem. And then I think the important thing is we do not want eventually the middle classes to be the only people that can afford renewable energy in terms of the periphery of the periphery. Because if we allow that to happen, then we've not honored our people. So I think we need to be able to think of how do we do renewable energy that works it down at a community level. And that's really important. The community can speak about the experiences in Mpumalanga and the challenges we face. Unfortunately, Mpumalanga and Limpopo and the Gauteng area in the south have the power stations. So that's where everything is focused on. And in terms of the Department of Health, we did speak to the Public Health Association of South Africa, and Mike can speak more about that. But yeah, thank you very much. I will move a bit to the side, let Mike respond, and then get the community folk to speak. Thanks, guys.
Well, thank you all for the questions. Thank you, Bobby. I'll go through them in something like the order I heard them. First of all, the links to the Department for Health here. I haven't personally, in doing this study, I haven't made links with the Department for Health here. I do back at home in the UK, but for this study we were able to use some fairly limited data set on the population and mortality rates in South Africa, and data that was available internationally through the Global Burden of Disease study. So that data was out there for us. On the morbidity effects, the effects on illness, chronic bronchitis, etc., we have taken a rather crude approach in this work. We've extrapolated rates that we find from analysis elsewhere in the world, for example, from parts of Europe with economies with a similar GDP per capita to South Africa. We have the data we need for those countries from WHO Europe. I don't have that same data set for South Africa. It introduces some uncertainty to the analysis in that we make this extrapolation of against the number of deaths that is calculated using much more South African data. It does introduce some uncertainty, but I think it would be far more uncertain to just leave those things out. We can get a broad order of magnitude of the numbers for hospital admissions, chronic bronchitis, etc., by doing that extrapolation. If we said we don't have the data and we'll leave them out altogether, then we'd know nothing. But at least now we've got some idea of the scale of impact. It was asked why we looked at coal only. All I can say is it would be nice to extend this work into other pollutants. We've got the modelling that we need to be able to do the work. If we linked in with the Department of Health, we could probably improve some parts of the analysis as well. For this study was just focused specifically on coal. Like I say, it would be possible to do analysis of other areas. In relation to the brown haze and how dangerous, well, we got very concerned about brown haze in London, and that has led to a lot of legislation, not just in the UK, but also at the European level, similar legislation in the USA. And increasingly similar legislation in some countries like China. China has, for example, adopted the European vehicle emission standards. The brown haze, yep, there are reasons to be concerned about it. There are reasons to be concerned about the pollutant emissions from many other activities in addition to burning coal. You mentioned that, you know, drying meat and sort of burning waste at the roadside, etc. And yeah, again, they will be producing emissions that are harmful to health and just add to the overall burden of pollution that we are exposed to. Where am I looking now? The South African coal from the information Professor Eugene put up yesterday, very high sulfur, and some of it of low calorific value as well, so you have to burn a lot of stuff to get the same amount of energy out from that. I think there's an issue there. You can't sort of just blame the coal. You can't say, well, the coal's not that good, so you know, we're stuck with it. The coal not being that good means that it gives you an imperative, I think, to look at other options that are available. The
data
in relation to the emission limits that have been set, and whether they were fit for purpose. My understanding is that that ESCOM has asked that it doesn't have to meet the emission limit values. So, you know, whatever is set in law, it clearly it's got to be sort of pushed through for it to be effective. You may have very good standards set in law, but, you know, again, they've actually got to meet them for that to work. And you could see, you know, even if you carried on with coal, even if you ignored the other impacts of coal that I haven't covered, you know, you could have a major benefit for health by meeting the standards that have been set. I'm not sure how they relate to standards in the US and in Europe, whether they are sort of equivalent or not. In quite a number of developing countries now, they are they are taking up the standards that have been developed in Europe. The question on data, I've not actually written that down very clearly. What have you got?
So the question on data would be, is there enough data to hold industry accountable? And just to add
a bit on that, is that there's the data of the pollution, which we need, and we're starting to get. It's not 100%, and the colloquium will speak about that next week. Our data of the pollution is scattered. It must be improved. But what we're really missing, and maybe for the Portfolio Committee on Health, this is a critical issue, is to be able to get through to the government departments, even at a local clinic level, to start collecting and presenting our researchers with the correct health impacts of what people are presenting at the clinics. Because then we can take the health pollution data, look at the clinic data, and then we can mesh the two together. Now, you know, up until 2000, honorable members, actually that was available. I'll tell you what happened one day. And I went into a town, and I won't tell you which town. And I said, could I have all your health data from the clinics? And they said, yes, no problem. You know, if you're doing research, and they gave me the files with all the, how many asthmas, you know, how many cancers, how many, all the different diseases they were treating. And so we had that at one level, and then after 2000, no more. We can't get that data anymore. So that's what I would impress upon this. So the data is two things. It's about the air pollution data, but also about the health data.
Thanks. I'll add to that that in Europe, all industrial facilities have to report their emissions. It's seen as the emission is into the public space, therefore there is no confidentiality on those emissions. They're published in something called the European Pollutant Release and Transfer Register.
And the corporates here are still saying that that's confidential at one level. They don't want to release that. We're in challenges with Shell, BP, Sasol. You know, those are the three companies I can just mention. Despite us, the local community from the Vaal, you know, being successful at the Supreme Court of Appeal in 2014 with the Center for Environmental Rights, saying that all such information must be public. So we got it in our law. The Supreme Court of Appeal has endorsed it, but still we don't have that information, Mike, at times.
I noticed you mentioned BP there.
Yeah.
I can't think which country that comes from. But I think BP could be reminded that they are meeting these obligations in Europe, so I don't see why they can't meet them in South Africa. I think they really should be taken to task over that. The same goes for the data from monitoring stations. In many European countries now, that is available real-time. So as it's measured, it's instantly made available on the Internet. So you don't get people hanging around withholding the data for long periods and then saying it's not, it doesn't meet certain quality criteria, so they won't release it. It's released first of all, then they do the serious sort of quality checks. And if the data is withdrawn from the long-term means for some reason, I think the data still has to be actually available to the public so people can make up their minds whether the right thing has been done or not.
I want to move on so we can get the community people.
Okay.
Can I? Anything else you want to say? Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just mop up very quickly. Dan, why can't I share the particular terms of power generation? I think that needs to be developed in Europe. We did a major study called the Externe study that I was involved with, which developed many of the methods I talked about. And that looked at all the impacts of all the power generation technologies that are out there. So all the impacts of coal, for example, including the occupational accidents, as well as the air pollution effects I talked about, the greenhouse gas effects, similarly for oil, effects of oil spills, for technologies like wind, even for wind we included accidents in the workplace. We also included noise effects, etc. So I can't sort of sit here and come up with an option for or the technologies for the best power generation in South Africa. I think that would need a sort of quite an in-depth study, but it would need to look at all the benefits of the different technologies and all the negative impacts of those technologies to build up a really complete picture of what is best for South Africa. As I said at the beginning, the idea of this work was to provide information that would assist with energy planning. Lastly, I'll come to this gentleman's points, which leads into the community groups, I think. The slightly good news is that the shareholders will be affected by air pollution. Not as much, though, because they're living away from the areas where it's worst, and also they are healthier to begin with, in all likelihood. So, as I showed with that graph I showed, they will be a little less sensitive to air pollution. One of the things that really struck me about communities close to the power stations was that some of them don't have electricity themselves, or very much electricity themselves, and that was kind of shocking to me. So they have to put up with all the disadvantages, and they're not getting the advantages coming through. And I guess being told it's in the national interest really wouldn't help people. We get told in the UK a lot that things are in the national interest, and I've yet to ever agree when I'm told that particular point. You mentioned the Maize Triangle. Once the land is destroyed, it's gone forever, so then people are kind of trapped into the coal mining. Well, the other energy technologies also provide, you know, work opportunities. There's an issue of ownership of these things, and I think in the UK we've gone down one route. Wind is all owned by big companies. In Denmark they've got a very different structure for doing it, where wind farms tend to be more community owned. So there are different models in different countries, and I think, you know, we can sort of pick up on those models and come up with something that actually suits people in South Africa rather better. I think I'll stop there.
Thank you very much, Mike. We got an hour left, and I think it's important to now tie this up with people actually talking about experiences on the ground. So I'd like to call up Felicia from Mpumalanga, Ilana from Limpopo, Billy from KwaZulu-Natal, and Bongani from KwaZulu-Natal. I'm not going to say who you are. You can say who you are and where you live. Yep. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much, Mike. And once again, thanks to the committee for allowing Mike to address you. Thank you.
Come, guys. Come, Bongani. Everybody come up. Everybody come here. We'll grab another chair for you. Lana.
Your guys? I don't know what it is.
Okay.
Good day again, ladies and gentlemen, the honorable members. I'm not sure if how to address all of you, but I think protocol is observed. My name is Felicia Le Nonyane, ke ngwanana mopedi. I think my salotlang kwa gabotse. I come from the Highveld region, actually, Emalahleni to be exact, in Mpumalanga, which for sure you all know, since you're in the Department of Health and also Department of Environmental Affairs, that that area was actually declared to be a priority area and also a no-go area when it comes to pollution, since it's the most polluted area. And also, representing also the community of the Vaal, all the priority areas that have been declared that, you know what, this is a place that is very polluted by coal. And I've also noticed that you mentioned that coal is not the only thing that affects people when it comes to health and also pollution, but our concern is coal. So I'd like to mention that the pollution doesn't just affect the environment on its own, but our concern is our health. That's why we'd like to engage with you as the Department of Health especially, because we've engaged with the Department of Environmental Affairs in many platforms, but we haven't got a chance to actually engage with the Department of Health and actually raise our concern that we are sick. If you go to the Vaal Triangle, you go to the High Falls and also the Waterberg region, you'll realize that people are affected by respiratory diseases. People are sick. People have rashes. And that is a concern that the Department of Health hasn't really came forward and took responsibility and say, you know what, as much as we understand that there's the periphery of the periphery who benefits, and then we don't understand that. That might be politics or something else. But on the ground, we are the people who are affected. When we are sick, we believe that as a Department of Health, you must be the people who actually take care of us. Unless perhaps we are the confused community. We never know about that. Sometimes we must get clarity. But you know, I know we are the Department of Health. We are standing back when it comes to this, or we don't touch that. But then as a community, we believe that if we have our issues, and if we believe that coal causes diseases, as Dr. Holland actually proved that, this causes many things. Mortality, premature deaths. And if I am as young as I am, if I get pregnant right now and give birth to a premature child, what holds the future? It means that we don't have the future at all. And also one other problem is not just the coal. It's also what the coal has done to us. Because we have abandoned mines. The mines are abandoned. And then the Department of Environmental Affairs knows very well that the air quality is not of a human standard. Because, I mean, like, it's not a place that you can live there. So what should we do? And I've heard also a member that mentioned that we live in informal settlement, then we can't move. Should we move or should we not? We are a very big population, and we cannot move. That is something else. So if we're in a place that has sinkholes, which are burning, the mines are abandoned, and that the government is not doing anything about it, they're like, oh, wow, we know that this is a priority area. We know that you are sick. We know that the sinkholes are actually have methane that is coming out, have sulfur dioxide that coming out. We know that this causes diseases, but what are you doing about it? And also, it's an endangered, we are an endangered species at that place, because people are dying. Our members of the community disappear in a sinkhole that is burning. Imagine if I lose my uncle, who perhaps is a breadwinner in my family, and then he was going to work, perhaps, and then he falls into a burning sinkhole. And then we do understand that people are working in the mines and in the power station for money. And I agree with you, Honorable, that, you know what, we are trapped in the system, a system of salary. But then, in your portfolio committees, what is it that actually you think is an alternative? As much as you are asking Dr. Holland that you would like an alternative for this energy and everything else, but what is your alternative for us to live in a better environment and also an alternative for our health? Because I never saw any, maybe, IDP plan that, you know what, this is 10 million that is put aside for the people of the Highveld region or for the people of Sasso to get respiratory masks or to get, free service. Our hospitals are always full. And our statistics proves it. It proves it. Respiratory disease is caused by what? Mining, obviously. Power stations. It is proof enough. Even young children know that. If I visit my grandmother in Limpopo, I know that when I come back, I'll come back feeling better. Immediately I reach Mpumalanga, then it's something else. It's something else. My sinuses come back. All the coughs come back. So we are really an endangered species. So we'd like to know, what is it that you will do for us? What is your responsibility? Can you take responsibility if you have to? And also, make sure that the companies are accountable if you have to, because we don't have those powers. We are just ordinary community members. We do work with CER, of course, but CER is not our lawyers. CER got their own portfolios. They can help us, yes, but then they have their own portfolios. You must help us. Because when you go to the companies and say, you know what, Eskom, you are polluting. Sasso, you are killing us. They're telling us about the licenses that you have actually given them. You give them environmental pollution licenses, health licenses, water licenses. And then what about us? And these people don't even consult with us. But they do consult with you. Because obviously, if they actually give you a proposal that we want to open a mine in Mpumalanga, they consulted with you. You got those. And with the degrees you have, I believe that you do know that mining have impacts, have consequences. But you don't actually consult with us and come back and say, you know what, we're going to open a mine in Mpumalanga, or you have a mine in Mpumalanga. This is our plan as the Department of Health. This is our plan as Department of Environmental Affairs. Give us a plan to help us. We do attend all your meetings, and then we're going to be told about statistics of how our air is polluted. It's been polluted 10 times last year, 2 times this year, 5 times next year, 5 times in 2020. But we no longer care about that. That is just statistics. How are you going to help us? Help us. Not just tell us about the statistics. I thank you very much.
Can I just check the process that how are we going to, because there are a number of issues that she has raised. Are we expected to respond or allow all of them, because she has raised quite some profound issues, so we also want to. So I'm just checking. I don't know whether time will permit that.
May I suggest, Madam Chair, that everybody speaks, because there might be issues that link up, and then we'll open the floor. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Sanbonani. Niyaphila. Tina Spin. Akufanele sinikhohlise sithi siyaphila. Asiphili. Ngibonga ukuthi iminyango eminye ikwazile ukuphumelela. Okusiphethe kabi kakhulu, ama-mining companies afika endaweni zethu esenzise izinto esingakaze siyibone. I-issue yami inokususwa kwamathuna. Emlandeni wethu ukususwa kwethuna ngaze kwenzeke. But laba bantu uma befika emphakathini bafisa ukuthi sisuse abantu bethu noma ihlobo zethu ilele phansi esingakaze sikubone emlandweni wethu ukuthi kwenziwa kanjani noma kuthathwa iphi procedure uma kuzokwenziwa into enjalo. Ngicela ukuthi uma ukuthi bayafika nalama proposal abo emphakathini umnyango uqiniseke ngempela ukuthi ucwaningo balenza ngendlela eqinisekile ukuthi umphakathi uthintekile. Sisuke endaweni zasemakhaya la khona khona amakhosi. Awukwazi ukuma noma ukuchallenge inkosi umuntu kazana endaweni. Lama mining company mayifika endaweni awasinike ithuba senze i-research ngama proposal abeza nawo. Ngoba awukwazi ukukhuluma nge-business ungena u-businessman. Lokho kufuna kube clear. And umnyango wa DMR bengifisa ngabe ukhona ngoba siphenduka abantu abangayifuni intuthuko emphakathini. Siyazi ukuthi sifunani. And siyayazi intuthuko esiyifunayo. Asingafunzo intuthuko. Ayikho intuthuko ezofakwa ngenkani. Siyazazi thini ukuthi sifunani. Asingaphushwa ngentuthuko ekugcineni sigcine sibekwa kabe emphakathini njengabantu abalwisana nentuthuko. Kune ngaphana eyiningi eyifika endaweni zethu. Ngaphandle kokuxhumana nomphakathi ekugcineni kuthatha iy'nqumo. Okubuhlungu kakhulu, uthole ukuthi uma sekususwa amathuna, imiphakathi le esukuyithinteka kulawo mathuna, ayibisababikho. Imiphakathi eminingi uma uyibuza ukuthi amathuna akini asuswe yinkampani abekwa la, awungayidentifayele wona ukuthi akuphi, awawazi. Sikholelwa emasikweni. Uma kufanele uxhumane nabantu abakini abangasekho noma kuney'nkinga, uhambe emathuneni yokhuluma. Uma ungasalazi ukuthi uzolukhomba kuphi, kufuna senzenjani. U-DMR bengifise ngabukhona la ngoba ngicabanga ukuthi inkinga enkulu ikwa-DMR. And u-Department of Health, ngicela bakhulume nalabantu ukuthi le nto yokuthi bebhizi bethi no we're gonna build hospital, we're gonna build clinics, we know the cause. Asifuni amaclinic nama-hospital. Why kungavala le nto esilimazayo? So asingalokhu sicasha sishona le nale. And le nto ukuthi uma kunama-IDP bese kuthiwa ama-mining angene kumasipala ukuthi no sizokwenza lokhu nalokhu nalokhu. U-government umasipala iwona ukufuna udlala irole yawo. Asingaphushwa ngokuthi asinawo ama-tarot, asinawo ama-clinic, imayini mayifika then kuzokwenzeka lokho. Uhulumeni akenze okwakhe not ama-mining companies, because ama-private companies. So siyacela ukuthi le nto yokuthi sifunze intuthuko. Siyazazi ukuthi sifunani singabahlali. And le nto yokungahlonishwa ibuhlungu. Ngicabanga ukuthi ngoba nonke nila maniphuma la nibuyele emakhaya enu ningabantu angithi. Manisuka la nonke niphenduka abahlali. Kodwa mase nila niyakhohlwa ukuthi nisuka kuphi. Akufanele kube ngathi kuzoba nale gap between nina nathi. Ekugcineni kosuku siyinto eyodwa. Abantu kumele behlonishwe. Isinqumo nesinqumo esithathwayo akube ukuthi i-consent yomphakathi ikhona. Ngoba lezi nqumo ezithatha lapha phezulu egcineni kuhlupheka thina siphansi. Leli thuba njengaleni siyafisa ukuthi ngelinye ilanga ama-department wonke ebe khona ngoba asifuni kulokhu kukhonjwana ngemina. Ukuthi umuntu nomuntu athathe i-responsibility yakhe. Ngiyabonga.
Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, members of the Portfolio Committee present here, members of the civil society, I greet you all. My name is Bongani Pierce, coming from the northern part of KwaZulu-Natal in an area called Mtubatuba. I am representing the organization called MCPA. Honorable members, allow me to voice our frustrations pertaining to the problem that we are faced with in our area at Mtubatuba. In 2005, our traditional leadership brought us together and introduced the Tendele coal mine as a development. We're very excited about it. But what happened after that? It was not development. We are currently suffering from the so-called development. Whenever they are blasting, a cloud of coal will come up. It will end up in our houses. We are affected by that. There has been a number of incidents that has been reported. I'm talking about the area where I'm coming from, but I heard from my other colleagues as well, talking about the very same thing in Highveld area or wherever there is an open cast mine. Ladies and gentlemen, we are suffering. Our call for today is for the Department of Health to intervene. It's not only the air pollution that we are suffering from. We've lost our livelihood. I'm glad that I heard one of the officials talking about we no longer can grow our vegetables because of the soil or topsoil that is rich to make anything to grow. It's gone. We are experiencing that on the ground. We've got a problem of water scarcity. Our water is dirty. I can't mention the number of diseases. My colleagues have already mentioned those diseases. We appreciate this opportunity that we are being given today, but we are making a call to the officials, national, provincial, or locally. Please come to our area and witness the life that we are living under. It's stressful. There is nothing much that we can do. Previously, when the mine was starting affecting us, we had some marches as a community. We called in DMR to intervene. We sent our petitions. Nothing was done. We hope that being here today, this is our last hope. We are hoping that someone is going to hear our call and immediately would come and meet with us on the ground. I thank you for that.
Today, you'll excuse me if I stand. Honourable members, learned lawyers and very important people and my friends, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. I cannot tell you how excited we are and how thankful we are to come and have some of your precious time. My name is Ilana Greilen. I am from Lepalale in Limpopo, and I represent various women's groups from Shongwane, Selika, Abbotspoort, Steenbokpan, Marapong, Onverwacht, and Allesras. Don't let the white face fool you, no. I am here today to ask for your help. I have been sent to tell you that for us on ground level, it sometimes feels that the gap between us living at grassroots level and politicians, elective officers like yourself, and people working for government has become too big. There are some people that forget that they are representing ordinary people like us, that they are in positions of power and in jobs that are meant to serve the people of this beautiful land. We feel that people don't understand what we're going through. In effect, having caused us to be voiceless, we feel that nobody is hearing us because we fight against huge companies that are mostly faceless and department officials that are absent. Therefore, we want to ask you today to help us. You know, public participation is not equal to community consultation. We've been to a public participation process this week where there were no members of the Western Cape community present. It's been used as a tick box and as a rubber stamp for a lot of things. You know, these guys come in with their nice suits and their shiny leather jackets. They speak well-polished words, and they lie to us at ground level. And let me tell you a little secret, honorable members. I believe they lie to you, too. They promise us development. Now, in Lepalale, I can tell you what was developed. Remember, that is where Eskom's Matimba Power Station is, Exxaro's Grote Geluk Mine is, and where the world-famous Eskom Medupi is still being built. No? We have had great developments in Lepalale. Overpopulation has developed. Our infrastructure is crumbling. The poor municipality, local municipality, cannot cope. We have more holes than roads. We have sewage running in the streets, in the parks, into the rivers. We have water problems. The water has dwindled since 2010. We have less and less water. Pipes are bursting. People have no drinking water sometimes and no pressure most of the time. That's only in towns, in structured areas. We have developed crime. Our crime rate has skyrocketed. The development they brought us disease. HIV/AIDS numbers in our area have skyrocketed. Crimes and social problems go hand in hand. In a town where rape was a strange occurrence, not 100 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, there are now more than 6 or 7 rapes per police station in a week's time. This is what developed in our area. Now, when you make decisions, and I know you are not you sitting here are not personally responsible for everything happening in this government, but you can help us carry the message. When decisions are being made, when laws are being passed, when authorizations are given, remember us on ground level. Because apart from the huge power stations, in Lepalale there are already 7 other coal-fired power stations authorized. Authorized. There are more than 10 mines in various processes, open cast coal mines, in various processes of being authorized. Remember, I'm coming from the heart of the bushveld. So if you want to see one of the most prettiest parts of this beautiful country, come quickly. In Lepalale, we are now paying the price for decisions made in other parts of our country. We are paying with every breath that we take. Did you know that Eskom's Matimba power station is emitting more SO2, poisonous gas, than the whole of Britain? Did you know that the world-famous Eskom Medupi power station, when at full capacity, will be emitting twice as much SO2, poisonous gas, as the whole of Britain? So when I'm sitting under my marula tree, I will be breathing 3 times more SO2 gas than anybody in Britain, which is an industrial country. I still can't believe it. We are paying with our health, as my colleagues and Dr. Holland illustrated so vividly. We are paying with our children's lives. We are paying with the future of our children. We live in the bushveld because we love it and we want to be there. And I thought that my children would grow up and make a living there. But they can't, because we're also paying with our land. Huge parts of the bushveld have been bought up by companies, coal companies. Commercial and subsistence farmers no longer are able to farm on the land. Farm workers have been displaced because there are no more farming, no more agriculture in that area. We are paying with our water. In Lephalale, it's a water-scarce area. One of the excuses Eskom is using not to implement pollution abatement technology. No? But our water is dwindling. In the Steenbokpan area, there's been a steady decrease since Sasol made a hole as big as 3 or 4 parliaments. For example, water is gone in that area, making agriculture impossible. Water along the Magal River is also being allocated to industry, making food production hard. So our food security is being threatened. We are paying so much. And then I said I'm representing women. I'm also representing some part of our communities that have less voice than the women, believe it or not. They cannot speak for themselves. I'm here to talk for the trees, for the marula trees, and the big acacias, the baobab. I'm here to talk for the kiwit and the broad brown eagle. I'm here to speak to you for the kudu and the impala and the small steenbok. I'm here because nobody else will speak for them. And we are here to plead for your help, to help us to get this message across, so that even though we're from a small town and we're far, far away, the echoes will sound where you guys with powerful voices can be heard. Thank you.
Thank you very much, people. Let's engage in conversation. And just one issue I'd like to, and maybe Billy said it because I don't understand isiZulu. It's about land.
Yeah.
It's about our land. Land we're still fighting for.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, you have touched on the number of departments, so it's going to be difficult for us to speak on behalf of departments, but I think you have brought in an issue which we are trying to do, the issue of not working in silos, because the other one affects the other one. So my comments and my questions will be more on her. But just to say, there is one section of people that are not here to account, are not here to meet to account. And you know who are those? Those are mine bosses. Because where are they? Are they in London? Or they in Hot Bay? Or somebody said something about faceless? So I think we are bringing in, I don't know, they are bringing in something that is challenging us to that area. Because I'm making an example. I will go and buy land to mine. I'm a mine owner. At the end of the day, I am to account. I am to answer. I'm answerable. So in this dialogue, as we move forward, we must not only apportion responsibility and blame to to government and the executive. I'm sorry, to government and us, because we are the legislative arm of the state. Obviously, we do have that responsibility. So as you are saying, we must answer, you must ensure that the leadership or whoever who is in this brings in mine owners. You have reflected on the issue of the gap. Now, when I'm going to explain this process, I'm not apologetic. But the gaps you are coming from, you're talking about local and province. And we are at this level. And I want you to understand me. I'm not saying you are wrong by coming here, but by coming here you are reflecting a challenge that is, somebody talked about ITP, a challenge that is more on the local sphere of government, a challenge that you are coming from Mpumalanga. I am bound to ask you whether, at which stage, when and how have you managed to speak with the Department of Health in Mpumalanga? Because remember that we, as at this level, we are to say to the Department of Health in Mpumalanga, we met civil society in Mpumalanga. This is what they have raised in Parliament. Can you please tell us, have you listened to them? What is it that you have done? Yes. When we go back, we go to our families. That is no... And it has got nothing to do with education. My grandmother said, what makes a human being is not a number of degrees you hold. It's not the amount of money you have. But it's how then you are able to understand what then. And you always say, my grandmother was just a daughter of a peasant. She said, education is not about going to school. Okay, so I'm still trying to battle what she really meant by saying education is not only about going to school. Now, coming to key issues around health, tell us, what is it that the National Department of Health and this government must do, and us as people that are monitoring, are playing oversight, are dealing with the legislation, what is it that we must do? I pick up on one thing. You said, when you are coming from Limpopo, you go to Mpumalanga, you feel, and therefore you raise something about masks. Are you implying that there must be legislation or there must be policy that everybody must wear a mask? I'm raising that because you are raising things that are very important. You are to tell, you must tell us what is it that we are to do. Because let me tell you why, without wasting any time, why I'm asking that question. Because at the end, we are to go back to those communities. Are all communities, would everybody want to wear a mask? So I'm raising this so that as we are moving forward, because together we are more concentrating on the pollution, on coal, we really have to say, in the things that we want the Department of Health to do, because you are to you are challenging us to go back to our policies to see if those policies in this 23 years, have they produced what? KZN, for an example, Mtubatuba, I'm happy that you are not general to say, at Mtubatuba, this is what we're told. Somebody came and bought a mine. We were told this is going to be a development, and nothing that has happened. Other members will come in on some of the issues. For me, is that because as the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Health, when we sit down, when we look into the program of the department, we will then want to say we have met these people in these areas. If I go back, and you'll pardon me, because we came here not being prepared, the question, what is it? We are building clinics. We are building hospitals. The department is doing that because of the high rate of non-communicable diseases in the country. You are saying, we don't want clinics. We don't want hospitals. We want to be healthy. Now, so and I'm not saying you are wrong by raising that. You are sending a particular message that we will have to look into those things. And how best do we ensure? And therefore, you can't, in this again, there's an area where I think that we must then bring that in, factor that in, which is education. Education. What then becomes the role of education in ensuring that those trees are, I can see that you are an environmentalist. And there's nothing wrong with that. You can, people always say, I am a bush. I always say I'm a bush economist. I'm a bush lawyer. Because I didn't go. But what is important, I think what you are raising to us, Comrade Silas, is that we are given a task that is, as I'm seated here, I said, oh my God, what is it that, because when you do work, when you're listening to people, I was told when I was young, younger than you, that listening to people is twofold. Don't be emotional when you're listening to people, because you must ask yourself questions. What is it that the people are asking, are saying? What is it that they know that you don't know? What is it that you don't know that they know? And in doing that, you then develop a program. Maybe it's easier said than done. But I wanted just to, more on the young lady, saying people must wear masks. That is a very profound, big thing. We have to sit down. We have to go to the department and say, there are these communities, but in your provinces, in your localities, what is it? I would have personally, as a health activist, I would have appreciated if you are saying, we have gone here, we spoke with them, this is what they promised us, this is what they said they will do, this is what we said they must do. We have had a shortcoming because of A, B, C, and D. I thought it's a more of a learning curve, but it's an emotive. And in me sitting down, Mpumalanga, in fact, before that, I was watching one of the 402. We eat fish. You know how polluted the sea is? You know how polluted the sea is? We eat seafood. We buy fish, but how polluted the sea is. You can say, I won't eat the fish again. So I understand the challenges. Here it's about coal. When I spoke to one of our members here yesterday about this, I'm just going to sit down with my last point. He said, we bank. I'm raising this because of the sinking hole that is burning. Sinkhole that is burning. He said, Wheat Bank, am I correct? Is the most polluted area in South Africa. It is the second in the world. So you are exposing us to a number of things. We don't have, we can't stand here and say to you, yeah, tomorrow we're going to go to the Department of Environment, we're going to go to the Department of Mine, we're going to tell them not to do APCG. No. Tomorrow we're going to say we need that document, but we need these presentations from you. You must assist them to put those presentations on paper, because we must then re-invite you to come. We are to go back to say, enterprises, this is what is being said by Sasol. Minerals, this is what has been reflected. Please. But in the center, you are asking us a big fish. And the big fish here is the mine owners. I am not implying that you are wrong. Ourselves also are going to look into that. But I want to thank you, young. And leadership is not about being a member of parliament. Leadership is not about being a member of a particular political party. Leadership is not about how educated you are, how much money you have. Leadership is your ability to stand up. That's leadership. To stand up and say, I am going to lead myself. And leading yourself first, it gives an ability to say, no, we want our children, we want the generation to come to ensure that this is the situation. We were colonized 100 years, 300 years ago. Today, we are reaping the fruits. Other people will think that we are being, we're not going to be apologetic. We are in the, I'm a member of the African National Congress. We will say this, but there are things that we are to do. There are things that we are reminded that we must do with the challenges. So I thought it's going to be important in the center if they can be assisted to put these on paper so that when we challenge, each and every, we are going to, silence is here, so it then means we must still have a product. It's unfortunate that other departments are not here. We will see, we'll sit down as members of the Portfolio Committee on Health to say, how do we ensure that we again assist you in organizing a broader meeting, because health alone here and environment is not going to assist. It's quite a number of them in the center, including education. I thought I must make those comments, but I don't want to lose. You must respond to me the issue of masks, because I as a health activist, I think we are raising something that we may not have, because our people have not been empowered on some of these things, not because of their own making. And please don't misunderstand my colleague on the issues that, because he was raising important ideological, political, and economical challenges. So don't misunderstand him. That's why I want to come to your level to make you to understand that what he is saying simply and is that at the end, there are people that are to answer, and those are the mine owners.
So just very quickly, thank you, Madam Chair, and we will make sure that this gets through to you. In order that you can understand this better, and we will also get through to you not only our stories but also what we want, because we have been working with the Department of Health, with the hospitals as groundwork to make them aware of these environmental issues. We just met with the hospitals, and this week on Monday I was in Johannesburg meeting with the province of Gauteng, province of Western Cape, province of KwaZulu-Natal, on health issues and how do we bring the environmental issues into the health process. But I will guarantee you that we're going to respond very formally to your request. Felicia.
Thank you very much, Ms. Chairperson. I'd like to give other people a chance to also voice out their comments and also their responses, perhaps, or their questions also, to what we have said. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much. When we received this information yesterday, I was under the impression that today there will be some representatives of portfolio committees, not only on health, but at least one member from energy or two, water and sanitation, and I'll give you the reasons why I'm saying that. Agriculture, forestry and fishery, mineral resources, economic development, inclusive of environmental affairs. What is the reason? The reason is, even though I came late, but I could pick up a point from the presentations done, that this is a very broad spectrum that needs to be attended to. It's not only based on health, because when we look at energy, coal is part and parcel of energy, and you talk about water and everything, water and sanitation plays an important role here. You talked about those animals, the trees and everything that also needs to be given a space to live in. That is obviously includes the element of agriculture, forestry, and not forgetting fishery. Mineral resources is also linked to energy. That the economic development, the bosses that have mines there have to benefit economically, and together with when we talk about the all the pollution and everything, it's environmentally connected type of a problem. So I thought all these committees, as they were mentioned in this, would be represented here. But all the same, as our chairperson has said, somewhere, somehow, there should always be a portfolio committee that would bring about the all the sectors as they are mentioned here, so that a discussion and a moving forward can also be done. Not forgetting that there are different sectors. We talk about health on national level, ne? Or all the sectors from national perspective. At the same time, we escalate it down to the provincial levels, you see. That makes the whole process very complicated. From the provinces, we have municipalities also that plays an important role. So it's not just to say it's the government or the portfolio committee on health that has the responsibility of taking this issue to where it's supposed to be. That also reminds me to say, if it was possible, we would do a multi type of a, you know, visit, a site visit that does not only consist of the representatives from the portfolio of health, that would be inclusive of all the stakeholders as they are. And then just to mention something, we talk about the bosses that are maybe not mentioned here, but what about the beneficiaries? When you talk about the mines and everything that goes into the villages, we have people from the same village that benefits from all this. What are their voices? Will they be happy to lose some monies when a certain mine is supposed to be closed and so on? So if when we go on with the discussions of this, let us also make it a point that they are included, because they also have a voice. They are enjoying the benefits, and it's economical benefits, because they have money that they gave, but usually they don't. It's not the whole community that benefits for the improvement. It's not the whole community that can have improvements done in their villages. Obviously, some use it and it's for their own pockets or the benefits of their own families, excluding the majority of the community members that they are living in. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Let's give it to the gentleman.
Ke leboga modula stool ba re tau tsa tlhoga seboka di ruta ke nare e tlhoja mphemphe ya labisa motho gona ke sa gago and then ya go senya ke ya gore mmetla seromo o betla ebile wabo ke a senya taba je ka moka je When you are not united, when you are divided, you can't win, you can't achieve anything. And that was a modus operandi of the colonialists. They divided people, even villages. And then they come and say, well, now, and that way you so come out to una want to work now. And then that's where that's the reason why we were defeated in the first place in the 300 years of resistance. Because Mamba figures got in Sagit Utine. Mamba figure la Tina Avaluangal. Mamba figure la Tina Sabano. And that's why, because we are not united, in unity lies strength. They understood that. Now, you see, you can't grow food in the sky. And mine, coal is not food. Mining is not food. And if you don't have land, it's taken by somebody, it's owned by somebody, and he owns the means of production, he can put a factory there. And you have nothing. You have to sell your labor power, you have to go and work there. And you are not united, you are scattered to tell Bazo Kashamina. Lava Bangali, one of Matuatuba, they said Bazo develop that area. They were not going to develop KwaZulu Natal. What skills did you have? Nothing. And now they destroy the land, you can't even grow food yourself. And that land does not even belong to you anymore. Well, tell me, Baba Nigele Batine is our mine and it's so developed, and you are right. We are lied to big time. No? Big time, not even small time. But you can't be everywhere and in every corner and every under every bush to see whether or what is big. Sometimes nobody even lies to you because you are not even there to hear what is being said. So you can't even hear the lies. But the effects affect everybody. Okay? You know, some few years ago, before Baha Midupi, Lepale was supposed to be a big, big developmental area. Big houses, lots of development was coming to Lepale. All the people in Waterberg were going to be employed. Big time. Now even the school bus is no more there. Nothing. And where are those big jobs? All we know is diseases now, and we have to mop up those things. And we don't even own the land. Those farms that used to be owned are bought now. They are holes where they're supposed. What are you going to do with the hold when? Now, it's because we are not united. Wanna know which community do you represent? Baba Mba is here somewhere, Baba Latu is here somewhere. They don't care about you. You run around. Nobody bothers about you. Okay? They are busy doing something. And maybe they are busy trying to make a living. Alright? But on which land? Where? We are all slaves to live to salaries or wages. Okay, all of us. And if the boss run away with the till and he doesn't pay you, you are ruined forever. You are ruined, completely ruined. Where are you going to get another one? Where are you going to get the one who ran away with the till? You are finished. Simply because we are not united, we are divided. We are still divided. And that's our weakness because, you see, just for us, we got shit to generate food. So, unless we learn to say, as human beings, you see the world is now a global village. But you still talk about Guinea as 14 Sagit. When we are in a global village, let's talk about universality now. Let's talk about human beings, Homo sapiens, human beings. How are we going to survive? Somebody the other day was saying, "Now I'm going to hit them with a hydrogen bomb." And now you are still busy fighting with the knob gear, with your one again bang, telelala. You are wasting your... Yeah, now, the other thing is that for us to understand these things, we must give our people quality education. It's the only working front loader that can level the playing field. If we don't, others are more educated than the others. Others are home show more than others. We are is another dividing factor, big time. You know, a child, when you are hungry, you can't learn anything at school. They can talk, you want to sleep. Because to preserve, it's not that you are feeling like the body wants to preserve energy for the brain. So the best way to sleep, you can't learn anything if you are hungry. And what are you going to eat if you have no land to produce food? Your parents can't produce food anyway. Now, we as the Department of Health understand food and you can't get food if you are not educated, right? Well, how are you going to manage to get food? Education is the basic of development. Now, if somebody says going to develop you and Oshar Oto Aha Mai, he didn't teach you anything, he just says, I'm bringing development. What he's saying is that he's shifting you away and bring somebody who can mine. You are nothing. They are just throwing you away. But they didn't tell you in the beginning that, no, we are just going to shift you away and throw you away. And you said, you are very sentimental about bones. After 10 years, I was always not Baba Begepi or back when. It's just too much for me. You understand? The reason why we asked that health must be involved in environmental things, because environment is part of health. Everything is part of health. Was because you can't do something on one side, cure somebody from your asthma comes back when you come back to. I stayed in Malahleni for 4 years, staying in a hotel working. Something, eh? So I know all this area, the Palale everywhere, I know this area. Now, unless we are united and we realize we are all brothers keepers and sisters keepers, and there is no black and white, we are all Homo sapiens, we are all human beings, and we are all facing the enemy, which is the exploiters. No, they don't care. Whether you are dead or not, they don't care. All right? What they care about is profit. And they are thieves. In the first place, they took your land. Now they take your minerals. Now they take your labor. Everything, So we must be very conscious of that and unite and fight them. Not through arms, but just improving our lives and ourselves. Okay, not Nyesakila, no. But we must educate ourselves and our people and fight for what belongs to us. Okay. And I can talk. We will talk. We'll visit you. We'll talk. Just now, I'm sure Sir Ketala, ne? And somebody must have grown that food somewhere. Where? Not on top of the mine. Or in the mind, it doesn't matter how smart you are, you have to eat to keep the body and soul together. Where are you going to grow the food? In Mpumalanga, you know, Wonderfontein, between Middelburg and the other place, there is Anzul, there is Ken Hein, and all sorts of, they were doing ethnic cleansing. No? They were removing all those people and saying, we don't need them on the farms, and they must go and have RDP somewhere on the other side of nowhere. No? I'll tell you about it. I know what I'm talking about.
I think Mr. Makubela, if I had the same name right, he's been raising his hand for a long time, and then I'll come back to you, sir.
No, it's not much from me. All I wanted to say is that we have had your inputs. Fortunately, some of us are not interacting with you underground work for the first time. In most of our portfolio committee meetings or public hearings or oversight, you do make presentations. So we're quite aware of some of the frustrations, the challenges that we have got, and so just an issue of saying at the level of parliament or government, you always have to do with a balancing act, because often you go to areas where, let's say, a mine is to be opened. I'm not even talking about old mines. You go to an area where a mine is needed, and there are various stakeholders. People are lobbied there. You find a group in the community that is arguing for the mine. To say we need the mine, we'll get jobs and so on. Whichever way they have been lobbied. So they represent a particular grouping. And in the same community, you find those who then indicate, based on their research or whatever, it may be Center for Environmental Rights or whoever, saying no, but this mine will have the following effects, which scientifically may be proven. But I'm saying at the level of government, what do? You have to try and look at how do you minimize certain things. Hence, we subscribe to what we call sustainable development, that you may not be able to stop development at all costs, but at the same time, that development should take into consideration that future generations must be able to come and survive in the same space. Because if we are careless, we are irresponsible, they may not find the world available, the manner in which we found it. You know, it may not exactly be the same as we found it, but I'm saying that we should be mindful, whatever we do, we should be mindful that it should still be a habitable place for the next generations to come. We must not be so selfish, because if the previous generations before us were as selfish, we will not be able to survive ourselves in the current space. So all I'm saying is, let's not be too emotional about these things. These are very serious questions about our own survival in the space. You know, as and when we are a developing country, as and when we are able to afford new technologies and all of that, yes, that should be done. And we must take into consideration the effects that are there now, the fact that people are dying and so on and so on. Obviously, these things, people will resist. And so we're asking questions that are related to the industry, because the industry will argue, and I'm still prepared to hear more about this issue. The industry will argue, which I don't necessarily subscribe to totally, but they will always argue that their own pollution or emissions are not the major effects, and they will blame all that into in-house kind of pollution. But you know, it's about a big business. They will want to do that, you know. But we must hear you out and be able to serve as a cushion and come into that space so that the most vulnerable people are not affected. So I'm saying, at times, from where you're sitting, you may think that these people do not have our interest at heart, we are not about your aspirations, it may not be the case. We are in a space which is quite difficult as well. You know, we cannot just come and say, we have heard from groundwork and all of you, and therefore your word goes, and not listen to industry, and so on and so on. You know, we are bound to listen to them and see how we balance all of that. So also get into our own boots. But as activists, do your part. Nobody wants to regulate you. Do your part. We are encouraged, but what are you doing? Because then that is a force that will counter what the industry brings about. And then we are able to be in a space where we measure what the industry does and what civil society does. And we come in between and make sure that you are not as affected as you will be if we are not in that space to can regulate the environment. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Honorable Makube. The lady on the other side wanted to comment.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not going to say much because I think my colleagues have covered me largely. But I actually heard you when you said you don't want clinics, you don't want bills. I understood you very clearly. Because let me say that these companies build these big clinics with no staff. That is a long-term liability. And then the Department of Health, we are faced with staffing those clinics. And that's more expensive than that building that's standing there. So I understood you when you said that. It brought that into my mind that, okay, now this is where we always have a problem, Chair. And I thank you for opening our eyes. And thank you for being brave to tell us exactly how you feel. I think that's important, that there's a gap between us and the people. I'm not going to say them. It is us, you know, whoever it is. But it is us. And hopefully with the chair, I know she's very passionate about our communities. I'm sure she will try and find a way and call another meeting, which will be more representative of the team that we expected, because we cannot be answerable to all the questions that you ask. And they are very important questions. And I think even those masks, Chair, those companies would have to be responsible for them if they want those. You know, it will not be the responsibility of the Department of Health, which is already overburdened with the work of what these companies have brought to our people. Thank you so much. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Let's give
Thank you, Chair. You know, Department of Health, I think we should pet ourselves with the Environmental Department, because we've heard you. You mustn't feel guilty of the things you said, that you don't want clinics, you don't want hospitals. We understand exactly what you mean, as my colleague says, because no one can say, I don't want a clinic, I don't want a hospital, for no reason. You know, it's out of frustration, you know. So we do understand. But, Chair, I thought we have heard you and everything from your side and from our side. You know, at least we have responded to some degree, although not adequately, because of obvious reasons that we have been given, that we really cannot say this is the answer to the concerns. Maybe if you agree with me, we should hand over to the chair, our chair, and see if she can't craft a sort of a way forward, you know, from here, because it's very important that we make this meeting not the last one. Yeah. And it's important that we action some of the things that we can we are able to do to action. There's always, you know, immediate, medium, and long term in everything that people, you know, try and. Maybe I should just leave it like that. If maybe you could allow that.
What I would suggest is that to make this process more authoritative and directive, the ground group must write a letter to the office of the speaker, because that's where committees. That's where the work, any correspondence that comes, it is that office that has got an authority to say this committee and this committee and this committee must sit and look into this invitation. I don't have an authority over the chairperson of an environment. I don't have an authority over the chairperson of minerals or public enterprise. So I think listening to you, that in my view, is a process that will then pave way. Because remember that you are coming, you are speaking to the people that deals with legislation. And it will then be that meeting which will then see how then do we move from the next step. So that is the way forward that I think we'll then be able to assist. So that we are not encountered with this problem of only one committee with its chair and one person from the other. Yes, there are apologies, and we'll see, maybe when we're then given that directive, we'll see the best time. Truth be told, Friday is not, in sense that it has got a number of things, we've got constituencies, we've got this, but we then set as health, because it deals with pollution which affects the health of our people. Let's sacrifice this Friday to come and listen to you so that we understand what is it that you... But after that, with that way forward, I will suggest to you that pollution is multi... What? I'm not a philosopher.
Multi-pesticide.
Yes.
It goes everywhere.
It's everywhere. When I was watching that clip, was it CNN? CNA? Or was it... It was 402. One of the European channels. When I saw pollution, sea by plastic, and when it was said, it is the same fish, even that fish that is in that, is, I got scared. So I'm trying to say it's a very broad subject. But please take the route, I'm advising to take that route of writing to the speaker and request that would like to have an audience with this committee. Feel free to say it was health and environment, but you think that all, and you list all the committees that you saw, she will know what to do, and then I think that's the best process that will ensure that all committees are. But again, on behalf of the committee and those that are present and not present, let me take this opportunity of saying thank you very much for being bold. But take into consideration two things that have arisen, unity, and that they are beneficiaries. You must not talk as if there are people who don't. So how then do we bring everybody into one roof without being arrogant and hostile to one another? Unity. We used to say in the old days, divided, united we stand, divided we will fall. Irrespective of color, irrespective of gender, capitalism,
is very, very cruel. It does not have mercy. Doesn't care about gender, doesn't care about color. All it wants is how best does it benefit out of your misery. So we wanted to thank you very much, and that is the suggestion that we are putting forward to you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and all the committee that have actually spoken with this regard. Well, let me just make this clear, because, you know, with your responses, I've actually realized that you feel attacked. And then we, Aspatanga is like gila. No, I mean, I guess departments in general, we want to work together, as Bob myself has mentioned that, let's unite. We're not blaming anyone, but we are saying, as communities, I get it, even though I'm a child and then I'm at home and then I saw a nice sneaker on TV, even though my parents are not working, I'll still go to them and say, "Hi, Mama, I saw that sneaker. Can you buy me that sneaker?" So take us more like those children who are saying, "I want that sneaker." No matter it's not your responsibility or what, but then let's take your suggestion. We accept that. Oh, you don't feel attacked?
No.
Okay. Okay. No problem at all. Yes. So what? All right. Thank you very much. If you're not feeling attacked, so thank you very much for this opportunity to actually listen to us. We thank you and hope that next time we're gonna be listened on a bigger spectrum. Obviously, thank you.
You tried, but we're not
done. We'll give you that benefit of doubt that you are youth and. You speak your mind, but rest assured, we can never feel attacked.
No.
That we can't.
Before we leave, honourable members, I just, on behalf of Groundwork, on behalf of the communities, Centre for Environmental Rights on my left-hand side, and everybody, thank you. And is it possible, if you would indulge us, to have a small photo with you, with everybody there, so before we go down to eat? Is that possible? Is that acceptable? It would be nice to have a photo with you. Great. Guys, if the other guys can go stand, and the portfolio committee in the front, it would be nice. If you guys can stand at the back. But let the portfolio committee...